Okay, so welcome everyone to the Association for Coaching Group Supervision Experience Call. These calls are a key AEC member benefit. AEC's mission is to globally raise standards in coaching, and this is one way that we attempt to do that. It's your opportunity to reflect on your coaching work, gain different perspectives, increase your understanding and develop skills. Plus, of course, we hope you really enjoy the experience. It's a really great opportunity to connect with other AEC members internationally. It is a group session, and it's worth just reminding you that that can be a very different experience to one-to-one supervision, where you have a lot more time to go in-depth. This is fast-track supervision, so it's an experience of, a taste of supervision. It doesn't replace supervision, but it's quite nice to have a taste of what it's all about and perhaps as a useful supplement to your everyday regular supervision. The fact that it is a group also means that we have that kaleidoscope of perspectives. We have many minds to address your questions and issues that might come along. My personal aim for all of you is to help build your confidence and clarity through exploring real life client scenarios. So it's all about, you know, really looking at what's actually happening with your coaching rather than kind of hypothetical questions. So I'm hoping you've got some real life stories, client stories that you'd like to share. Today, you may be aware, we have an added dimension. A little bit different to how these calls usually are, in that we're going to present a kind of focus for today, and that is around bringing creativity into your coaching. Now, it's going to still be run very much as these calls usually are, but we're just going to kind of just reflect on that creative theme every now and again to just see if it gives an added dimension. So you may have attended these calls before. Typically, the structure is very similar. How I'm going to do it today is basically we're going to go through a series of cycles where all of you get the opportunity to speak in turn. And we're going to kind of do three cycles. The first cycle I'm hoping is going to be really quite fast and furious. It's just your introductions, who you are, what you have to bring today, and the word or two about creativity, just to get us in that mindset. The second round, probably all of you, but it may well be only two of you. We'll see what happens. You'll get the opportunity to explore your client story or your question for supervision in more depth, and you'll get about 10 minutes to do that. All of you will have the opportunity to join in. We'll be inviting you to share questions, ideas, your own experience that relate to it. What we tend to find is everyone's story kind of connects with all of us in one way or another. And generally, kind of themes tend to emerge from these sessions too. The final round, the last 5 minutes, will be kind of final thoughts, conclusions, and any takeaways. So that's the plan. The only other thing I'm going to say before we kick off is just a few words about contracting. So some ground rules. Firstly, I've mentioned to you about the recording. Nevertheless, what we say here stays here. So can I just have your confirmation, Leslie, if you can just quickly unmute and mute and say, yes, that's okay for you.
Yep, I agree.
Good, good. And I'll run through the other ground rules and then come back to you at the end, maybe, Leslie, just to make sure you keep things anonymous. So if you introduce a story, don't use names, don't identify people in any way, and that kind of helps to keep the anonymity. Respect for each other. Be open. It's your opportunity to learn. So none of us are perfect, thank goodness. So it's okay if you're presenting something where you are less than perfect. I hope that is the case, because that's when we have the opportunity to learn. And finally, the time restraints. We are very limited on time, which means I'm going to have to be quite rigid on how we structure the time. Bearing that in mind, sometimes it just we go with the flow because something appears to be gathering energy, in which case the structure will go out the window and we'll follow the flow of what needs to happen. But generally speaking, please can I ask your permission that it's okay if I ask you to stop and we move on to the next person. So, okay, Paul and Leisha are nodding. Just let me check, Leisha, yeah. Leslie, that's okay with you. Wonderful.
Yep, that's fine with me.
Brilliant. Okay, so let's do our first round. So this is your introduction. So just say who you are and what you do in a nutshell. We're not looking for job descriptions. Just say whatever comes to mind. What you have to bring today. So rather than describe your whole situation, what's the headline of this? What's the title? So we just get an idea of the theme that you wish to explore. And finally, just to introduce this topic of creativity, think about the question, being creative in coaching for you is like what? Okay, so again, I know you haven't had time to prepare that, so it's your kind of spontaneous, instant, short answer. A word, a picture, a phrase, that's all we're looking for. Okay, so intros, who you are, what you do, what you have to bring today, and your answer to that question about creativity. Who'd like to go first? Paul's talking yet, just take yourself off unmute. And you're first.
Very briefly, Paul Rowe. I work as a coach and as a musician. I've three strands to my life. I teach in the DIT, Conservatory of Music, and the Academy of Music. I also coach, and at the moment my main project is I'm working with a lot of school principals. So performer, coach, and a teacher. So my issue I'd like to talk about today, it's one that I've been working on for quite some time. It's about contracting and I think I've still got plenty of work to do on good contracting and coaching conversations. There's a tendency for the reflection to go on a bit long and I don't get enough focus in the session. And then as regards creativity, being creative in coaching is like, being present to yourself so that, and to your clients, so that you can make an offering that has some of your own experiences that you can bring to the client with their permission. So it's just an adaptability to the context as it's unfolding. If that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, lovely. And that did kind of unfold. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Paul. Let me check your issue around contracting. Have you got a real case to explore around that?
I do, but it's more generic. It's an ongoing theme. It's basically to do with the fact that sometimes one of the things I like to do at the beginning of a session is to review how things have been. Mm-hmm. And then if the client really gets going, that reviewing can go on quite some time, and I begin to find myself half the session has gone on reviewing and we haven't really contracted, and I find myself going, oh my god, we haven't really even contracted to what the session is about. But
okay, got it. That's enough for now, but I get the idea. Okay, brilliant, thank you so much. Who'd like to go next? Leisha?
Hi everybody. So my name is Leisha McGrath and I'm an organisational psychologist and a coach. I work for myself and I have two small kids, so I fit everything around that. I suppose the question for me today is, I suppose what attracted me to psychology and attracted me to coaching in the first place is I have a very strong sense of empathy, which used to be a hindrance, I think, when I was younger, but it's something that I suppose I like to use a lot in my work. And something that struck me when I was speaking to a fellow coach and they were talking about preparing for coaching sessions, and obviously I prepare a little bit, but I suppose, and it's interesting because it's exactly what came up for me with the creativity question. For me, coaching is very much about being present and responding and feeling what's going on and feeling between me and my client what's happening. And I suppose I just have a question. Do I need to be preparing more? Should I be, you know, reading more stuff that I have more to pull on? Or am I as well to go with the flow, with that creative pull as it happens for me in sessions?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much, Leisha. And Leslie, what about you?
Hi, I'm Leslie McGarvey. So I work for the Department for International Development in the Human Resources. I'm talent manager. I've been involved in coaching for the last maybe 11 years, but I've just been doing it kind of like the last four across government and some external alongside my kind of day job. And I've just completed a postgraduate diploma in executive coaching. So for me, what I would like to discuss today, I suppose it's a space between coaching sessions. You know, and I do contract for so many sessions and you're going to have them, but it's when then, so I've got one case where I've had two sessions and there's been quite a gap.
Okay,
that's I have probably, had some contact with the other person.
Okay, but, excellent.
And my creativity and being creative and a coach, I think for me, it's been in the moment and the client having that light bulb moment. Mm. So you manage to, in the presence, do something, be it put them in somebody else's shoes to think about it, and they actually have a light bulb moment. That's probably for me, creativity.
Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you very much. So that's great. We've got an idea of what you all want to work on. So there are only three of you, which means we have a little bit of more luxury of time in that we've got a few extra minutes. But let's aim to have about 10 minutes per person. So you start with each of you, perhaps in the same order. So we'll go to you, Paul, first, and you can just tell us a little bit more about what this is all about for you. And then you'll get the opportunity to invite, as I say, either questions, ideas or similar experiences to share. So it'll be up to you kind of what kind of input you get from the others. So Paul, you know, you say it's around this kind of when you go into the review and it might go on and then you suddenly find yourself halfway through the session. So, you know, maybe you could describe a time that that's happened.
So about 2 weeks ago, I was working with a client and not unfamiliar situation, the client very quickly got into reviewing mode. Mm. And, you know, had a lot to discuss, a lot to share, a lot to explore in this reviewing since the previous session. And one of my strengths I like to think of is that I have the capacity to create a nice space, a trusting space, a safe space, and clients are very seem to be very comfortable sharing all, you know, very openly about their experiences. Mm. And which I see as a real strength. One of my challenges, however, is keeping a focus to the work that we're doing. And I'm continuing to work on, you know, the question of what is our focus for today? What is our anticipated outcome and that sort of thing, so that there's a real directionality to the conversation. One of the challenges I have is that I don't like interrupting people, which is probably not a great capacity as a coach, because I guess as a coach it's important to be able to interrupt, but you interrupt with sensitivity. And so I think I need to improve that skill of interrupting if somebody's mid-flow and I'm inclined to want to let them explore what it is they want to explore. The challenge then is it can roam quite far and wide. Mm. And it begins to lose focus. So if, for example, this client recently was obviously getting a hell of a lot by discussing all of these issues, which were very, very wide and very, very important to this client. But by the time she had spoken for about 25 minutes, like there were so many things going on in the space. It was like, okay, well, so where do we start to, where do we get to from here, you know? So I'm very happy for the review to be there, but I'm wondering, is there a way I can, maybe it's a structural thing where at the very outset, even before we get into reviewing, say, okay, what is it you'd like to focus on today? And if reviewing is a major part of what you'd like to do, well, of course, that's fine. But I just want to be fairly clear that the client is clear that work is the review, and I'm clear that the work is the review as well. Because sometimes I find myself getting to the end of the good, expansive reviewing situation, and it's like so much stuff has come up, and I'm going to go, oh, wow, how do we go forward with it? That's one side. And then the other side of it is when I try to corral a situation about when I'm working with a client and say, okay, so now that we've been doing this review for 10 minutes, chop, can we have our session? I don't want to do that either. Uh-huh. So I want to find a sensitive way of contracting that both myself and the client are on the same page, uh-huh. that we are moving in a particular direction that doesn't have to be totally prescribed, but at the same time, there's a clear sense of focus to uh-huh. work. I think it's kind of an ongoing theme. At times yeah. it works very well, and other times it's on. My basic process is at the beginning of the session is have a little centering practice, maybe just sit for a moment, do a little bit of centering or a little bit of mindfulness, then into a bit of a review, then coaching topic and outcome, and then looking at an assessment at the end of the session. That's basically the type of shape I try to put on a session, but it doesn't always work like that.
Can I ask a question? In that the session that you were describing that was 2 weeks ago and you were 25 minutes in, how did you make the transition from review into the next one? How did you do it?
I made a few attempts at saying, okay, so I hear this and I hear you that, and these are the various different threads you've raised and so on and so forth. So and then I was trying to say, of that, what would you like to focus on?
Yeah.
And then the client would go on to start again. And then I find myself going, oh, okay. So I don't really want to get too cliched about this, but we still haven't really got it session focused because they've gone on to, to discuss again.
Okay.
So there's a feeling of chasing the client around a little bit.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. I can certainly relate to it. So in terms of what input you want from others, and everyone can have an opportunity to join in, would you like them to ask you a question to help you gain an insight that way? Would you like them to share their stories of a similar experience and what they did? Or would you just like ideas?
I love these three options. I'd love to, options two and three, really. Share their experience and some ideas around it. I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, okay. So who has an experience or an idea to share? Okay. Leslie, if you're off mute, go ahead, Leslie, and we'll go to Leisha second. Okay.
Okay. Paul mentioned this. Focus. I mean, I do the mindfulness as well at the beginning. I do find that helps. But I can relate to what Paul was saying as well. Now what I do with my contracting is you're quite firm with the contracting, but you follow at the very beginning. So with the client, I kind of have the overall goal that we're going to focus on. And then other things might come out of that depending on what happens in the session. Because sometimes people do come in, they just want to download, and at that particular point in time, that's what's appropriate. I kind of always then maybe link back to the overall goal and just say, is this working for you, or is it better, a kind of sub-goal? And also, I think kind of in my, having like, what are the issues coming up, the options, outcomes, what I follow is the CLEAR model, which I find quite good. And I try to kind of follow that as much as you can. You will go off and you have to go with whatever happens. But I do follow the CLEAR model and quite like that. And then I suppose at the very end is just asking the feedback as well and getting feedback from clients. If it's working or not. Because it might be, I think it's not working, which I've had quite a few cases, but actually clients get quite a lot out of it. And they've actually benefited quite a bit from it. So asking for feedback as you go. And I've also found it quite useful when you're into a few sessions, going back to the original goal and saying, well, even on a scale of 0 to 10, where are you now? Have we moved along? Are we making progress or not?
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Yep.
So maybe we'll go to Alicia, and I'll have something to add to, and then we'll come back to you, Paul, for your thoughts on everything that you've heard. So Alicia, what would you like to share?
Well, just I suppose, firstly, I don't think you're alone in any way, shape or form. I think we've all had experiences of that. And I suppose I'd echo quite a lot of what Leslie said. Sometimes it's appropriate to let the client go with the flow. What I try and do at the beginning when I initially contract with somebody and agree to work together is I work on building a joint agenda. And in that, I have usually something obviously that the client has come up with, three areas, and they can be quite broad, particularly if you're contracting into an organization, you know, you don't, that obviously you're keeping the actual material confidential that you're talking about. So there's a lot to be able to anchor it back to that. But I think asking questions straight up in a session, you know, if you were to walk away from this session and think it was really, really good, what would we have covered? What would you have gotten out of it? I find that can be quite a good question to anchor people from the outset, and then sort of get into the how did you get on since last week, or, you know, talked about you doing this, did you manage to get it done? But sometimes, I mean, I took on somebody recently who she just came in and she talked, I mean, I don't know if I said very much at all, but I took a reading that she needed to, and then the tears came and it was almost a purging, and I think she needed to do that. Do you know what I mean? That was part of the process. So sometimes I think, you know, do they walk out of every session and go, oh, that was amazing, I got exactly from it, you know? Or sometimes it can take two or three sessions to maybe get to that point for somebody. There's other people who will just want to tell you all about what's going on in work and crack a few jokes. And obviously you need to be able to maybe, as you say, practice those interrupting skills and bring them back. But I think it is about flexing what you feel is actually going on for the client. And if you feel that you're interjecting or trying to reframe or trying to do all the things that you know you should technically be doing and it's not working, maybe let it go, and you know, it might be appropriate to let the client lead out on that part if they're uncovering something that you can later work with in a more structured way. Does that make sense? Or
sure. Thank you.
Okay, great, you're welcome.
I'll just add a few thoughts.
Can I add one other thing? What I found quite useful as well is with clients asking them, you know, to start with the end in mind. About what Lisa was saying, so if we've completed 6-9 sessions, what is it you're going to get out of that, and what's the end goal? And then kind of a wee bit on, well, how are we going to get there? Now, I would say sometimes that things happen and you go a completely different route, but that's appropriate for the client. But sometimes that's quite good just to have something.
Nice.
I kind of support what everyone else has said, the idea of starting with the end in mind. I know there are some clients who have this tendency to start talking and not stop. And so with those clients, I will ask them what they want from the session before I ask them what's been happening, and just do it that way round. And so if they say, well, really what I want to do is tell you what's been going on, and then presumably you've already contracted, you've got an overall aim in mind. So at some point in that, you can say, and how does all that relate to your goal? So, you know, it's still likely to be part of the big picture. The other thing I do, and I did with all of you, is I ask permission. Is it okay if I stop you when we move on? And the reason I started to do that was it was really interesting. By asking for feedback from my clients, I realized those people that go on and on and on often said, well, I wish you'd interrupted me. You know, because these people know that, and they most of them want to be corralled. They're quite happy to be interrupted. And if you've got that permission, it's easier to do. The only other thing I would add, and, you know, we've got this kind of theme of creativity going on here. And in some ways, having a fixed goal stifles creativity.
Mm, I've found that too.
Yeah, so, you know, knowing those times when, you know, you've got those aims in the background anyway, just allowing the session to unfold in whichever way it is going to might be a more effective way to get to that light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. We're tight for time now, Paul, so just back to you for maybe a few seconds, half a minute's reflection on what's coming up for you from that.
So thank you all for that. Your contributions and very much appreciated, and taking some really good ideas away there. Just one quick query, if it's possible. So in summary, at the beginning of a session, perhaps not start into the review, but actually start with a question about what they'd like to get. Is that what we suggest?
Oh, that's what I'm suggesting I have done. I don't necessarily do it all the time, but particularly with those people who I know have that tendency, my first question might be, okay, what would you like from today's session? Or even I might say, I'm sure you've got a lot to share with me about what's been going on, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about that. And before we do that, maybe you'd like to just let me know what it is that you'd like to get from today's session.
I love the way you said that, Angela, because often what I find when I hear other coaching demonstrations or hear other coaches, it can sound awfully cliched. And it's nice, it sounds natural the way you said that sometimes when you're trying to say something that's coachy.
Yeah.
Sounds very cliched. I love the way you said that. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say today. Is it okay that we start with?
Yeah.
Just to contract. And that's very natural. It's very naturalistic. Often when I hear these coaching conversations, they're not so naturalistic. It's the same cliche phrases that I can again, and it doesn't sound so comfortable for me.
Okay. Is it okay if we move on now? We'll come right back to you at the end. When you've had a chance for some of this to percolate, we'll come back to you with any insights and learnings at the end.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, so Alicia, over to you.
Hi, thank you. So I suppose my thing that's been ruminating in the back of my mind, I qualified as an organizational psychologist years ago, like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, and it was before coaching as a discipline per se was very well, you know, it's kind of people were doing six-week courses and calling themselves coaches. And so quite a lot of organizational psychologists got pulled into doing coaching. So I was doing coaching as an organizational psychologist and I was getting results and I didn't really understand how I was getting the results. Like all I knew was don't be directive. That was all I knew what to do. And you know, I was kind of more working with middle and junior managers, and you know, there's a lot of sort of common sense stuff that I think you would pick up from the organizational psychology training. But when I went back a few years ago and did the diploma, I really thought in a lot of ways that I was going to just get a bit of paper, and I didn't, and I completely underestimated the value that I had gotten from the diploma and from the experience of being coached myself. And I really thought that I would just be going in and getting a toolkit, you know, of things that I would bring into sessions. So when I went and I did the diploma, and I figured out that, you know, the toolkit's handy to have, but actually it's not about the it's not about the toolkit. It's about being present and about being, I suppose, creative and empathic in the moment. That's how my style has always been, and I suppose I've developed it more and more, and I've taken on more life coaching clients as well. But I hear people talking about preparing, about the way they want sessions to go, and you know, reading reams and reams around topics and really coming out from quite an intellectual point of view. And I suppose where I'm kind of thinking, and the other thing is I've been unwell for a couple of years, so with chronic fatigue. So I'm sort of worried that I'm on the back foot, you know, that I've been out of the loop a little bit. Like I work part time, so I probably keep two or three coaching clients on the go, and then I have other organizational work. So in the back of my mind, I think there's a bit of fear that I've dropped a ball, or, you know, that that I should be more up to date. I do read, you know, articles and books and stuff, but not as much as I would have done, I suppose, if I hadn't been unwell. So I suppose I'm stuck between that space of feeling that I should prepare more, but kind of I feel like my natural strength is in being the empathic person, you know, that I have always been since, I mean, my empathy was mentioned at my wedding speech, like literally this empathy is a label I've had since I was born, you know, and so it's a big part of my identity, I suppose, but something that I'm really learning to use.
Can I ask a question? In if you think about your sessions, has there been an occasion actually during a coaching session where you thought, wish I'd prepared for this? Have you had any of those moments?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I really haven't. You know, but I do think everybody, and I've, you know, I've never had any complaints, or people always refer me, and, you know, I've never done any business development where coaching is concerned. It always comes to me. I did the diploma. They asked me back immediately to facilitate on it. You know, like, I feel like this is the thing that I do well, but I want to make sure that I'm not being lazy, I think, a bit.
Okay. And so in terms of the input you want from us, would you like questions to help you kind of dig deeper into what's happening for you? Would you like story, you know, our experiences of similar things?
I think anything that comes up for anybody, whether it's a question or an input, I'm open to. Yeah.
Right. Okay, lovely.
Thank you.
So who's got something that they would like to share? Okay, Paul put his hand up.
Yeah,
so we'll go to Paul.
I'll let Paul go in.
You both got something. So we'll go to Paul and then we'll go to Leslie afterwards, and then I'll follow the tail end. So, Paul, what would you like to share?
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks for your experiences. And as you were speaking there, I was having a feeling of almost kind of the opposite in a funny sort of way, but also feeling an enormous amount of empathy and understanding also. I've done an awful lot of training over the last 6 years in coaching, an awful lot of sense that. I've done a lot of training in coaching over the last 6 years and a lot of reading on it. And also, like yourself, I think empathy and creating a safe space is really a skill that I love to utilize. And I've continued to wonder about all the information that I have acquired or learned, or with the coaching, all the reading I've done, all the coaches I've done, and finding an appropriate way to use that information in sessions continues to be something I'm occupied by, because at the end of the day, it's really creating the space for the client to do the work. And so I do end up asking myself, wow, you've done an awful lot of reading and an awful lot of study on neuroscience, on this, that, and the other, emotional intelligence, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I continue to wonder how that's utilized in the space itself. I think what I've found is there is one of the models that I've explored over the last couple of years is this idea that a client shows up with a project, something they want to do out there in the world, but in order to do that project, they've got to do a lot of their own internal reflection piece. So the person they show up as shifts. And I think by having gone through that process ourselves, can facilitate their own development. So I think your daily life that you're engaging in is your training, I would say. It continues to be, what's this they say, start where you are. That's your training, your two children, your experience with your chronic fatigue. And all of that stuff is bringing the richness into the coaching, which I'm sure you were.
I'm just flagging the time, if that's all right.
Sure. So just in terms of maybe reminding yourself of how much richness you bring, if that's not being compromising, how much richness you bring to your coaching encounter through the experiences that you have, and that your presence and your empathy is an enormous gift to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Leslie?
Yeah, I can empathise with you both. I think for me, probably what the coaching, what I've learned throughout it is to be more spontaneous and just go with whatever happens. So you have a kind of broad structure in your head, but not to, well, for me, it's been not to beat yourself up if you don't follow that. And things do change and happen in a coaching session. Before I have a coaching session, I mean, I will look over my notes just from the previous one and just what the overall goal was. I would do that. But I kind of don't do too much preparation before. What I have done sometimes though is maybe at the end of something. I had one which was a coaching session around conflict and just how the individual could improve dealing with conflict. And they'd mentioned the light kind of animals and something else we've been talking about. So what I did was, it was something I'd used in mediation, and I linked it kind of to the animals and linked them both together, and then went in with that for the next session, which really helped the individual. So I have prepared that way if something's come up in a session. Sometimes you can't, I go through some kind of, I can't always remember what it is, and then I would maybe kind of look and say, well, we did use this that last time, and you know. So I might do some things like that. But on the whole, I kind of have more learned to go, not to be rigid. You know, you need your contracting and you need kind of your milestones as you go along. So you need some structure around it, but put yourself in the client's shoes and provide you're getting value out of it, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Very interesting. And, I think it's one of these things. I think your question was, you know, should you, is it right to prepare more? And I thought, well, you know, every coach is different. We all have a different way of working. And certainly I had a conversation with the coach quite recently who was telling me all these great things they did before a session to prepare. And I thought, yeah, I think that's really great. And then I said, how long does that take you? Oh, and she said, oh, an hour and a half. So, you know, you can take this to a ridiculous extreme. And I think there is something about it's more important to be prepared to be in the right state.
Yes.
And for some people, I'm somebody who likes to have 10 minutes to go through what's happened before and just have a few ideas in my mind on where the conversation might go. But I don't let that structure what will happen, because, of course, the first answer you get from the coach, he changes everything anyway.
Exactly.
So I think it's whatever works for you. And if you're not noticing in a real session that you're actually thinking, actually, I could have done with checking this out beforehand. Mm-hmm. If that's never happening, then it doesn't sound like it's anything for you to worry about. With regards to preparing, just bringing in that theme of creativity, you know, people always think about creativity as about really being spontaneous, about, you know, going with the flow, about not kind of holding it into any kind of rigidity. But there's two sides to creativity. There's the convergent thinking as well as the divergent thinking. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, the preparation is all the kind of stuff that goes into the pot before you mix it up. And Leisha, you've had so much experience and, you know, with all the knowledge that you have already, you know, your whole life, I think this is echoing some of what Paul was saying as well, your whole life is really preparing for what happens here and now. So you, it sounds like you've got a lot to pull on actually in a session.
Thank you. That's great.
Okay. Given the time, I'm going to suggest we go to Leslie now, and we have her 10 minutes or so. We'll then have about 5 minutes at the end. So Leisha, you know, at the end you can kind of come back and offer any final reflections on based on what we covered with you, if that's okay. Great. And so Leslie,
okay,
the floor is yours.
Yep, thank you. Thank you. Mine is, so I've got one client I've had two sessions with and it went really well. It was kind of around like seeing them through a transition, which hadn't quite happened, but it was going to be happening in the future. And kind of for this individual, how to fill gaps within their division in the short and longer term. So we had two sessions and they went well. And then I think the last session was the 6th of March. Now, between then and now, the individual, well, we started the sessions in January, then there was one that they had sent the information on what was happening. And they had been in touch after Easter just to say, you know, really busy, we will be in touch again. And I suppose I'm, should I be contacting the individual or should I just wait and what to do in that situation? So I think I'm kind of thinking, should I be contacting because you want to force them into something if they don't want to do it. But I also don't want to leave it the way it is.
Leslie, how many sessions did you contract to have with them? And have they already paid
the contract
for
them? None of my work's paid because it's through the civil service it's people in other governments. And even where I've done it, because I'm just kind of starting with external clients, I haven't had any paid at all because I'm working with the government and that. So all mine are free at the moment. So there's no payment here. But we did contract for 6 sessions.
Okay.
So I suppose the payments are tiny. You're giving up the individual as well. You're giving up the time.
And they made a commitment
for
to 6
sessions. Yeah. Okay. And they have, you know, he sent me an email after saying that it was really good and the feedback, you know, and you felt it valuable. So I think in my mind, should I contact them even if they don't want to go ahead just to finish off professional? So I'm left kind of feeling, what should I do?
Okay. And what kind of input would you like from us?
So it's just if you've had any experiences like that, how you've dealt with it, and just any ideas, tips.
Okay.
That'll help me move this forward, I suppose.
Okay. Shall I go first this time? So I just know the one thing, this has come up recently, somebody asked me this question and it just reminded me of somebody else who had this very issue, and eventually they contacted this person and they'd been emailing them all the time, and it was one of those issues where the email had just kind of gone into the ether and they never received it. So when it's email contact, just because you haven't had an email actually doesn't mean it wasn't sent. So my personal opinion would be, why not drop them an email to say, you know, where are you and what do you want to do next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So what does everyone else think?
I would certainly agree. Oh, sorry, Paul. I would certainly agree. I would think that maybe there's a temptation to think there's something you did wrong, but I would say work has erupted or there's been an illness or, you know, something else has happened and it's just got waylaid. And I would agree with you. Usually I would let my clients come to me because I think that's part of the psychology of coaching as well. But I think in this instance, and if, you know, if it has just been email contact and there hasn't been any reply, I'd maybe pick up a phone if that was appropriate or use another means of communication and just say, look, I haven't heard from you. No problem if you don't want to, you know, move forward anymore, but can you just let me know? And I think then there's a little bit of self-care for you in terms of just understanding what has happened and, you know, what your role was in it and any learning, but that you need to have some closure. It sounds like it's really playing on your mind. So I think it would be nice for you to understand what's going on and whether or not it was you or your client, you know, that led the client to the decision either way, because I don't think we know actually whether he'll be back or not. It could just be an extraneous circumstance at the moment. Okay.
And Paul, what about you?
I have this experience quite a bit, actually. I work with clients, sometimes I work with them over quite a number of years, and they drift in and out at different times. Not drift in and out, but they appreciate the support over a longer period of time. And as happens, and quite often younger people, if I'm not being disrespectful, there are so much other things going on in their lives, like the rest of us, it kind of drifts away from them a little bit. And so I do get in touch with them and I say, I just like to check in with how you're doing. And actually recently, they do some work on Skype and the people are in different parts of the world, just checking in, how you're doing, how are things going with you? I haven't heard from you for a couple of months. And then it begins the conversation once again. So it's quite relaxed, and I've set it up with these particular clients in that sort of relaxed way. So yeah, so recently a client I hadn't seen for about 2 or 3 months said, "Oh yeah, I kept meaning, but never got into it. And I'm so glad you've come on to me, and I really love if we could have a session very soon." And we had a session last week. So because there's multiple modes of communication nowadays, it's so easy for things to get lost. So easy. So there is something around managing the conversation then, that you weren't looking for them to come back to, you weren't looking for business, but, you know, that's been my experience. And I think it's going to be an issue that will continue, because people, all of us don't necessarily have our system so well organized.
We've all got other priorities in our life, things that happen, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast. And in a way, I suppose, as a coach, that's part of what you're giving them, is a little bit of structure so that they can check in. Yes. It's just reminded me of something else. I did used to get this a lot early on as a coach. And one of the things I learned to do, back to contracting, I made it part of my contract, and particularly Leslie, as there's no money changing hands, you know, when you're contracting with someone, perhaps as well as getting their commitment to follow through, you maybe want to get their commitment to give you feedback after a session. And that's something I did. I built that into my contract and said, it's really important that I know after a session what worked for you and what didn't. And I give people, I email them after a session with, you know, maybe 5 questions. What landed with you well? Was there anything you wanted to say and didn't get a chance to? And I ask them, what would you like me to do more of or less of next time? Which is a really gentle way of getting some constructive criticism, if you like, without people feeling uncomfortable. That's how I got the thing about it's okay to interrupt, in fact. But that way, you know, if you ask them, you know, it's really important that I get your feedback. I think then again, that's kind of in getting permission that if you don't hear from after a session, you can then contact them to say, I never heard from you after the session. You know, maybe can you let me know what's happening and where you want to go next with this? I think if somebody wants to stop, that's absolutely fine, as we've been saying. But when you don't know, Leslie, you know, as Leisha points out, it kind of leaves this sense of unfinished business in you. And, you know, it, for your benefit, if not theirs, it's good to know, you know, exactly where you stand with it. And I think possibly by making contact, you know, they've got something to gain too. If there was payment involved, there's a whole load of other issues there. You know, if they've already paid, what do you do? If they haven't paid, could it appear as though you're looking to gain more business? So, you know, there's a number of other factors that might come in if payment is involved. But again, you know, just making gentle contact to inquire where somebody is, with their, what they want to do with their coaching, I think is perfectly acceptable. Can we put a creative spin on this? Is there any relationship between this and being creative? I'm not sure anything's coming to my mind here.
Just the methods of contact or the, you know, to think of, yeah, different ways of contacting, different messages, different reasons that you could link in, or, I don't know, do you work with them? Is there another way that you would be near them, or, you know, just finding different ways, I guess.
I mean, depending what the feedback is, 2 things come to mind. One is somebody would never respond to email, very young person. I discovered the best way to contact them was text. Text worked, yeah. Email didn't. You know, I suppose that's thinking outside the box. Also, if there are issues about time, meeting up, things like that, being creative about where you meet, being in a different space can sometimes add all kinds of creative elements for you and for your coaching if they're somewhere where they wouldn't normally be. You know, it helps them to think outside the box. I don't know if that's relevant or not.
And thinking maybe of different reasons why it could be that they're not getting in touch, so that it's actually, because if you're worried that it's you, that might influence your behavior to hold back a bit. But actually, if you're creative and thinking about, well, actually it could be them or it could be something else, then that might also influence your behavior to move forward in a different way.
Yeah, and as well as their email might have got lost coming to you, they might have never received your email. You know, that's another thing that happens.
That happened to me this week. Yeah, so that can happen.
Yeah, well, Lisa's exactly right there. I think because you're thinking, oh, is it me? You know, and then yeah, I am probably, when I think about it, holding back. Mm-hmm. However, we did have two good sessions, and it was two-hour sessions, and the individual came to my office. So we made the effort for that, you know, and the feedback I did get from them at the time was they found it really useful. Mm. However, what you're saying there, the individual does have health issues with his wife and he's got a young son, so there could be other things as well going on. I found that really helpful, and I think what I'll do is try and phone the person.
Yeah, excellent. Good. Okay, our last few minutes, let's just check in with each of you. Any final thoughts, sharings you'd like to add? And then, you know, what learnings? What are you taking away from today's session? We can go in any order.
I'll go.
Yeah.
First of all, just to thank you all. It's been a great pleasure. I find it really helpful just to listen in on the conversations and have the opportunity to just speak with you all. I really appreciate the structure that was brought to the session by yourself, Angela, too. That was really helpful. I think just going through that, it didn't seem too cliched or too stiff. It just seemed quite natural, but at the same time, it's structured. So lots of good modelling there. And the same, Alicia and Leslie, lots of really good ideas. And thank you so much for that.
Good. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
Yeah, for me, so Leslie, I think it's really good to discuss the coaching issues because sometimes it can feel quite lonely coaching, even though you've got kind of your peer groups and you have got. And I think it's good just to hear other people get the same issues. That's really refreshing and quite good. And to hear others' ideas. And sometimes it's that push you need just to go and do something because something has been playing in your mind. So I find it really helpful.
Brilliant. Thank you, Leslie. Leisha?
Yes, more of the same from me. Just really lovely to make contact with fellow coaches. I thought you did a great job, Angela, in facilitating and smiling at us through the session. It was really nice to see you. And for me personally, I think it's nice to hear sometimes you can doubt yourself and it's nice to hear that maybe we're not doing too bad a job, that actually if the clients are getting to where they need to be, then you know you're doing well. But again, it's interesting just in talking through an issue, it does, you know, and Leslie, as you're saying, it does spur you to actually think, well, you know, I can read a bit more and I can, you know, and then maybe you have more creative solutions to pull from on the day that can come up, you know. So no, really helpful on lots of levels. So thank you very much.
Brilliant. Okay.
Nice to see a fellow dub.
Yeah, and for me, I love these calls. It's always amazing how there seems to be some kind of synergy. You know, each of your stories were different. There was some kind of connection to them all, and creativity kind of flowed over the top quite nicely too. So, I agree. It's just amazing how once you just share something, how it kind of resonates with everyone. We all have the same kinds of questions and issues, and just knowing that can be really encouraging. So, no, that's excellent. So I'm going to just put two thoughts to you, no answer now, but think about how you feel about this recording being shared amongst you three, but also potentially being shared further. So I won't ask you to decide on that now, but I'll get Karen, our administrator, to follow up with you on that. And the other thing we always invite people to do is think about whether you want to share your email addresses so that, you know, perhaps you'd like to keep in touch now you've made contact with each other. But again, I won't put you on the spot about that now, but I'll ask Karen to follow up so you can get back in touch with Karen, firstly to confirm whether you're happy for your email address to be shared, and secondly, if you're okay about the recording. All right. Well, it's been really lovely.
Will she email us? Sorry, Angela. Will she email us or will we just email her now?
You can if you want to do it to get it out the way, but I will ask her to follow up with you and she can probably get back today.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
All right. Hope to meet you all at some other point in the future. It's been really lovely meeting and connecting with you all today. Take care, everybody. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.